Hello, everyone, and welcome to Be in the Know, the ESSEC Knowledge podcast sharing the research and expertise of ESSEC professors. Today, I'm here with Galia Shamaile, Assistant Professor of Marketing. Galia is here to talk to us about some very important research on how sharing cute animal content is good for us. To get things started, can you tell us a bit about what led to this research?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy and excited to talk about this. So, the way that this started was during my master's research for my thesis itself. So at the time, I had no idea what my topic was going to be about, but I knew that I wanted my professor at the time, Professor Zainab Arcel, who teaches at Concordia University and University of Bath as well. I wanted her to follow my cat account on social media, on Instagram. I was managing my own cat's account at the time. So when I told her about that, I had no idea what my thesis topic was going to be, but she proposed that it would be about this specific phenomenon of cat accounts on social media. And so that was the very exciting way that we thought of that topic and how this all came about at the time.
Love that. So what kind of research questions were you exploring with your study?
So upon revising the research millions of times, as we usually do, the final research question had to do with the creation, the consumption, and the circulation of digital objects online, and specifically within digital affective networks. So that we specifically focused on the context of companion animals on social media.
Okay, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so how did you go about exploring this link between cute animal content and our relationships?
Let's start with how we looked at the creation of these digital objects or the online content. So we looked at it as a process that starts with the human and their companion animals with two types of encounters throughout the whole process that we've investigated. First, it's the corporeal affective encounters, and that's where we start with the human and the companion animal. So it's just imagine you as a content creator having your companion animal and your interactions with them on a daily basis. So if it's your dog, maybe you're taking them for a walk. If it's your cat, maybe you're giving them some food or playing with them. And so these are corporeal affective encounters. They're physical encounters with your companion animal, and they are affect laden. So, you know, once you do them, there is a certain arousal of feelings, positive feelings between you and your animal within that relationship. So once we have these encounters as humans who are also content creators, we are inspired to create these digital objects, which are the online content of our animals. And once we're inspired to do so, we choose visual and textual cues that we use to represent our positive feelings towards our animals through posts or stories or whatever it is that we choose to create online. Now, we move from this corporeal affective encounter to something that we also called a techno-affective encounter. So once that post is out there in the digital world, in social media, people who consume this content will either forming parasocial relationships with the companion animal. So let's say I'm scrolling and I find this really cute post of a husky, let's say, and I feel very emotional about it, and I want to follow this animal online, and I want to form this one-sided relationship with them. They don't know who I am. The human that has this husky doesn't know who I am, but I know who they are, and I want to continue this one-sided relationship with them, right? So that's a parasocial relationship. And it used to be, when it started, this concept, it was tied to celebrities and has been tied to influencers online, because what kind of relationship we form with them is one-sided. So we move from the affect between the human and the companion species to the affect between the consumer and the companion species that they don't know. And then it moves to something between humans and other people within their network. So the people that they love, the people they want to share this content with. And this is when we move that techno-affective encounter. We see the post and it makes us think of our friend who really loves huskies, or maybe our friend who has a similar pet, and we want to share that content with them. And so that helps us create that bond with them. And so this affect circulates from the beginning relationship between the human and the companion animal to other humans and other humans online.
So in your study, you mentioned pebbling. Can you explain this a little bit more?
Sure. So this is a term that we had read online in media articles that talked about first penguins, because that term stems specifically from biology as something that penguins do with one another to create their own relationships. And so a Gentoo penguin will find the perfect pebble to give to their mate as a token of affection. And it's also been used within these media articles to refer to what we do with one another when it comes to content. So when we're online, we might see something and a post of an animal or something else, because our concepts are generalizable to other types of content as well. And it makes us think of our friend or our family. And we decide, you know, I'm thinking of my friend. I want them to know that I'm thinking of them and that I specifically have this intimate knowledge of something that they care about. And I'm going to share it with them. And that is what we term digital pebbling. So it's when we share a token of affection in the form of online content with our friends.
So basically, spending time on our phones, as long as we're sending something cute to our friends, it could actually be good for us.
100%. As long
love
as
that.
You are strengthening your relationships. Yes.
That's great. So what else do you think this could mean for how we approach our relationships in this digital age?
Yeah, so I think this, specifically given the different concepts that we've thought of in our theorization, I think it's really important to understand that this positivity that we gather from all of this content can go from something as specific as a relationship between one human and their companion animal to something as general as generalizable as memes. So you might have come across the hippo from the Thai zoo, Mudang, and so the positivity of that specific content that I think it was just a zookeeper who wanted to share an image of Mudang on social media can go from just that relationship between the specific human and animal to a worldwide phenomenon where it spreads positivity beyond the very specific context. And this is another concept that we have within our paper, which is called decontextualization. So we move from the very contextual situation of Mudang at the zoo to a decontextualized meme of Mudang being biting the knee of one of her zookeepers. And say, you know, the text there would be Mondays, right? And so it just represents something more culturally broad, something more positive, but tied to Mudang, but no longer fully tied to it, stripped of that idea of the specificity of that animal specifically.
Okay, very interesting. And do you think this is unique to digital content? Does it matter how people view and receive the cute content?
So I think, because this is something that stems from a physical interaction between a human and an animal, I don't think it is limited to digital content. It is something that we've been doing for ages, right? So think about if you would think about going for a walk with you yourself, because you have a dog. So let's think of you taking a walk with your dog in the neighborhood. You're able to make friends because your dog is there and it helps you. So animals are known as social lubricants. They enable us to facilitate these friendships, these interactions with people. So I think this is something grounded in the physical, but it has actually expanded into the digital. And if we focus specifically on animals, we can say that, you know, their social lubricant features or capacities have actually moved beyond the physical and into the digital, which is something that I was always very fascinated by, and I'm so happy to research, because I myself am a cat person and an animal lover in general, so I'm happy to know that it extends to the digital world.
Yes, it's so interesting. Yeah. And I can tell you it was a true pleasure reading your article and getting to see all the types of cute animal photos. Yes. That you included there.
Yeah.
And if we think beyond animal photos, I think you mentioned that this could extend to other types of content too.
Yeah.
So what do you think the criteria are for nurturing this type of effective encounter?
Right. So how we talk about that dichotomy of the encounters, the corporeal affective encounters and the techno-affective encounters. The tie in there is the affect. And I think as long as whatever the corporeal affective encounter what the two entities that are interacting are, if there is a positive, if there are feelings just in general, if there's the affect is there, then you're able to move beyond the physical and into the digital and be able to have people consume that content and circulate it. So long as there is some sort of affect, I think we're able to go beyond the physical. And if we were to think specifically of other examples, it could be something as, you know, as simple as an influencer, a makeup influencer who is very passionate about makeup, and they are interacting with a product that either they're sponsoring or not, whatever it is. Maybe it's a lip liner, and you know, they're using it, but you can see the passion, you can see how much effort they've devoted into it. And so they go from that corporeal affective encounter to the digital content itself, and it moves beyond. So as long as there's affect, as long as there's something to be consumed at the other end, that is what bridges and creates this phenomenon.
Outside of potential positive implications for our interpersonal relationships, what else might this mean? Do you think there's implications for maybe the workplace or for marketing professionals?
Yeah, for sure. So just to tag on to the example that I just gave about the makeup influencer, I think this is generalizable or transferable to influencers in general. So this is the world of marketing through influencers and having them sponsor your product. So as long as a company, you know what exactly it is that produces the content from corporeal affective encounters to techno-affective encounters, that will create that fervor and that, you know, that excitement about your product, then this is something that will be important to know about in order to instill it into the influencers that you partner with. So as long as you know what it is that will drive that affect, then you will understand how it can be extendable to the marketing world.
And before we sign off, are there any other key takeaways that you want to mention from your study?
Sure. So this is something that I've thought about, and it's something that's in our transferability section. But it's interesting to consider that beyond animals, if we think of other beings that somebody could manage an account for, you start to consider family influencers. So, you know, people out there listening have been have scrolled through and found a family online that is promoting certain products, or that's just showcasing their activities as a family. It's interesting to think about the children in that aspect, in that situation where the parents are controlling this, they're managing this account. And I wonder, you know, beyond a certain age, will the children feel like they never really consented for this to this content? It's funny to see it from the other end for animals, who will not really have the capacity to say that they've consented to the content. But from what we see in terms of animals, you know, as long as it is positive and that there's no cruelty to the animal, all of that content is pretty positive. And I think if animals knew about it, they might consent to it.
I think that they would be happy to know that they're bringing us joy.
Yeah,
and it's definitely a treat to read about positive research and positive news in a world with so much negative news. So
definitely.
I think that I'm going to go look at some cute animal Instagram accounts now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Galia.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.